That's some great imagery, Len. Slopping on. Hey, before I go any further, I just want to highlight something really, really cool that happened this week. Donna Scavins, would you just stand for a second? Would you stand? So can we just love on our people for a minute? So Donna successfully defended her doctoral dissertation this week. And yes. And she is now Dr. Donna Scavins. Yeah. And she did her dissertation on our healing prayer ministry at this church. So if there's ever a plug now for you to sign up for a healing prayer session, it is run by a doctor. All right? She's a soul doctor, and she's ready for you. Sign up. Hey, guys, we're starting a new series this morning on the life of Jesus. We're entitling it, This is Jesus. And as we approach, as we go through this Lenten season, we approach Easter. And we want to tackle these questions up here. Who is Jesus? Who does Jesus say he is? In the book of John, we see 8 times throughout the book of John who Jesus says he is. I am, dot, dot, dot. All throughout the book of John. And so for the next 8 weeks, 2 more, including the Easter season, we're going to be looking at who Jesus is, who he said he is, and how that impacts our lives. So this morning we're going to be looking at John chapter 6. John chapter 6. So if you don't have your Bible with you, in the prayer Bible, the Bible in the pew in front of you, it's page 1034 in most of them, 1034. And I want to read 25 to 35 this morning. And we're going to be looking at that section of Scripture, verses 25 to 35 of John chapter 6. John chapter 6. It says in verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what do we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Do you guys like food? Do you like food? It looks like we're all going to get snowed in on Tuesday because winter can't make up its mind. And so I want to give you a recipe to help you through a winter day. And it will shed some light on this passage of Scripture this morning. A couple years ago, I was about to enter into a chili cook-off. And my chili at the time consisted of Campbell's tomato soup, some ground beef and a couple seasonings. Some of you are shaking your head going, what is wrong with him? So I looked online at the experts, and I figure Texans have to be masters of this. So I found this lady who had won the Texas Chili Cook-Off 5 years running and thought, man, she knows what she's doing, so I'm going to look at her recipe. So this is her recipe. If you want to take notes, it's fine. I've adapted a little bit, but it goes like this. They don't use beans in their Texas chili. I don't know if you realize this or not. That's a filler to them. It's all about the meat. All right? This will help you out because then there will be less gas. Talk amongst yourselves. So they use the meat. So she uses ground chuck, whatever you want to do, or chop chuck, whatever your heart's desires, your percentage of fat to meat ratio, it doesn't really matter because you're going to cook it down and sift it off. So you put it in a pot, your pot that you're going to cook your chili in, you brown up your meat in that pot. Then when it's browned up, siphon off the oil, right? Siphon that off, and then fill it up to just the waterline covers your meat. All right? And then take beef bouillon cubes, too, stick it in there, and boil that for 20 minutes. And it gets really good. By now, your house is smelling great. All right? The neighbors are calling. They want to come over. Then you add a can of tomatoes in whatever fashion you like. I like the crushed tomato. It's the right consistency for me. Some people do sauce. Some people do whole tomatoes. Whatever the consistency is for you, put that in. Then you need 3 tablespoons of chili. And you can mix it up. You can do different kinds of chili. She uses 3 different kinds of chili. I can only ever find one, so I use the one. 3 tablespoons, and then 1 tablespoon of cumin, and then salt and pepper to taste. If you want to add some fresh garlic, you can, some onion powder. By now, your house is smelling amazing. And you let that simmer until the sauce is no longer watery. It's kind of thick, and like when you put a spoon in it, it takes a while to drip off. Is this in your head now? You feeling it? And then that was it. So I always am trying to figure out how I'm going to take it to a next level, and I really like Italian sausage. And so I grill up Italian sausage, and then I cut it up, and then I put that in. So now you've got 2 different kinds of meat, and your house is really smelling amazing. Now you're sitting here, and some of you are going, man, I really want that right now. Stop talking. Let's go home and make this. There's something inside of us that desires us to have and want things. There's wants that we have in our soul. We smell something, and this trigger happens in our brain, and we say we want it. I thought about having bread baking up here, but some of you, that's not good for you, and so I didn't do that. But when we smell something, this trigger happens in our brain, and we want it. In this story that we just read, these people have been following Jesus, and I want to set the scenario for us. They've been following Jesus for a while, and right before this story, this amazing thing happened. Jesus was with his disciples, and this huge crowd had followed them. It says 5,000 men, which means you can probably triple that with women and children, on this hillside, and Jesus says to the disciples, feed them. And they're looking at each other like, you're crazy. Jesus, how are we going to do this? What do we have? We have 5 barley loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus said, good, give it to me. And then Jesus does the miraculous. He starts breaking the bread and the fish, and it begins to multiply in his hands. And they fill up baskets, and they pass it out. And it says, in the passage leading up to this, that everybody had their fill. Not only did they have their fill, which means literally everybody was sitting there going, oh, they had that overdone sitting there on the hillside. There was 12 baskets of bread and fish left over. And by now, after seeing this, they're looking at Jesus going, he's somebody special. They wanted to make him king. And Jesus knew this, and he ran up the mountain to spend some time with his father. And they looked for him, they couldn't find him. The disciples, meanwhile, get in a boat, and they go across the lake, the Sea of Galilee. And so the people couldn't follow, because 15,000 people couldn't follow them in boats, and they didn't know where Jesus was. The passage of scripture leading up to this says, it was the middle of the night, and the disciples had been trying to get across the lake the whole night. A storm came up, and it was literally impeding them from going. And Jesus comes walking out on the water. Just let that settle for a second. It says he approached the boat, he climbed in, and as soon as he got in, the boat was where it was supposed to be. Immediately, it got to where it was. It was no longer impeding him. And then we come to this section, and it says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, how did you get here? How did you get here? There's three questions and one statement in this section of Scripture. And we're going to look at each one of them individually, which will lead us to a place of why I think we're hungry this morning. Why we're hungry this morning. And the first question is this. It's the one we see right here. When did you get here? And you see this oftentimes in Scripture. People are always asking Jesus the wrong question. They ask him the wrong question. They saw him feed them, all 15 or whatever thousand of them. They saw him feed them. They saw him leave. They saw the disciples get in a boat and leave. And as soon as boats were available, they go around to the side of the lake that the disciples went to, and Jesus is there. And their question is, how in the world did you get here? How'd you get here? What did you do? Like, we saw the fish, we saw the loaves. How did you get here? We didn't see you leave. And Jesus, oftentimes, and in this case is no different, you're asking me the wrong question. Your question is not, how did I get here? The question is, are you going to feed us today? We saw what you did yesterday. Are you going to feed us today? And Jesus says, you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Don't work for the food that spoils. The Son of Man will give you what you really need. And the Son of Man is sealed with the Father. Constantly in Scripture, people are asking Jesus the wrong question. They see the miraculous. They want the miraculous. They want the physical, what they can see in front of them. And Jesus is trying to push them beyond what they can see to something internal that is eternal. And then they ask this next question. Okay, so then what must we do? What must we do to get what you're offering? What's my part? What's my list? And Pastor Robert last week gave us a great example of this, where we want to do things in order to get ourselves in some kind of approval of God. What's the list, God? In the Old Testament, we had the law. Are we adding to that? Are we subtracting from it? What do I got to do? Do I have to get my act together? Do I have to fix all this stuff in my life? Do I have to continue to follow the law? Do I need to jump off a bridge? Just tell me what I need to do, because clearly you are someone special. You're someone special. And he does and breaks their paradigm and says there's nothing you can do but to believe in the one that he sent, the Father sent. It's not a doing, it's a trusting. And Pastor Robert set us up for that last week. It's not anything you can do. He's asking you and me to trust him. So put the do list away and believe that I am who I said I am. So they follow it up with, what sign will you give? What sign will you give us, Jesus? Moses gave us manna. This is a flashback to when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And in the wilderness, they didn't have time to plant anything. So they didn't have crops. So God provided this thing called manna, which in the Hebrew means, what is it? It was this flaky bread that would show up every single morning. And they were to gather it and eat their fill and not carry it over to the next day, because if they carried it over to the next day, it would spoil and go bad. But it's okay, because the next day, manna was there again. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And God also gave them quail, gave them meat to eat, and they had their fill. And so the Israelites say, Moses gave us manna in the wilderness. We just saw you do some kind of crazy spiritual chop-a-matic yesterday with the with the loaves and the fish, what are you going to do today, Jesus? Come on. Let's go, puppet. Jesus said, once again, you're asking the wrong question, and you've come to the wrong conclusion. Moses wasn't the one who gave them bread in the wilderness. It was God. We chase after the miraculous. I love magicians. I love magic tricks. And I'm sitting there the whole time going, okay, so he hit it there, and then he moved it to this pocket, and then he was like, hey, look over here, and then he pulled, pow. And if you got to see it all, America's Got Talent this past year, there were several guys on there that were just blowing people's minds. There was a football player from the Philadelphia Eagles. Some of you are nodding. And every time he showed, I was like, get myself set. I would get myself ready on the couch. Okay, what is he going to do? What's he going to do this? And I'd rewind and like try to figure out how he did it. This is the mindset of the Israeli people here. Right? They're watching Jesus. Okay, wait a second. He had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he just fed us all. How did he do that? Okay, let's follow him. Let's follow him. Let's find out what is he gonna do today. And they show up and they ask, okay, Jesus, what are you gonna do today? And he says, you're following me not because I did something miraculous, but your belly's full. Your belly's full. And he's beginning to twist the story for them and shape the story for them, because really what is happening is they are hungry for something. We are all hungry for something. They thought they were hungry for what Jesus was going to do next. What magical trick was he going to do next? How did you get here, Jesus? What kind of magical trick did you do to get from where we last saw you to here? Let's see it. And he said, no. You're here because I fed you. You're here because yesterday you were hungry and now you're full. And you're getting, at this point, closer to the answer that you're looking for. You're getting closer to the answer you're looking for. You didn't chase me because I did something magical. You're chasing me because you're hungry and I filled you. What are you going to do, Lord? I'm going to give you bread from heaven that will last. You were hungry yesterday. Your question is, how do I get filled today? But Jesus' question is, how do you get filled every day? How do you get filled every day? So they ask Jesus, or they make this final statement to Jesus, all right, give us that bread. We saw you do it yesterday. You multiplied it. So what do you, today, do it today. And tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after that. Give us that bread. Jesus was going right to their soul to get at the answer to this question, what they really wanted. What is it that you really want, that you're hungry for? I think in life we want a lot of things. When I was looking over this passage this week, I thought, yeah, I want a great life. In America, it's really easy. I want a great life. I want a great job. I want people to affirm me. You don't have to do it in front of public, you know. Just, hey, I like you. It feels good when somebody says, hey, I like you. You know, there's something good about you, something great about you. We want affirmation. I want a great marriage. I skipped over friends. I want friends. I don't want to do this alone. Like, I don't want to do this alone. I want to do this with people. I want my kids to behave. None of you have ever had days like that. I want no more. I want no more pain. No more pain. See, we expect these things to give us what we need. But what we're looking for, when we keep on looking after them, we're always going to be hungry for more. When I describe that pot of chili for you, right? For some of you, you're like, let's get out of here. Let's make that right now. Wait until Tuesday. It'll be better. It'll be snowy. But you know what? That chili's going to last for just a blip. And then that chili's going to be gone. I can have a really great job, and then the next day is bad. And my relationship's going to be amazing one day. And I go, yes, I have arrived. I'm the best friend in the world. And the next day I screw it up. Or the next day my friend screws it up. And what do I want then? I want my relationship to be better the next day. I want my marriage to be great. And there's days where I am a super husband. And then there are days where I'm super not. Right? And there's days when my kids are amazing and they blow my mind. They're like, Daddy, you're the greatest. And I'm like, yes. And the next day, not so much, Dad. We want. But we're really hungering after the wrong thing. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes after me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Our core need is to be filled with Jesus. That's our core need. You are created by an intimate God who desires intimacy with you and with the rest of his creation. There is a spot in your soul that can only be filled by him. And so oftentimes, when we think we're hungry for the things that we see in the physical and even the things we think about, what we're really hungry for is God. What we're really hungry for is his son Jesus. Those late nights when you're watching that TV program and something pops in your head and goes, hey, how about a snack? Oftentimes, that's not what's really happening in your soul. What's really happening in your soul is shut the TV off for a second and come after me. There is a deep need in each and every single one of us that can only be filled by Jesus. There is nothing wrong with that list I gave you. Absolutely nothing wrong with that list. There's nothing wrong with desiring a great life. There's absolutely nothing wrong with desiring a good relationship with your spouse. There's absolutely nothing wrong with desiring your kids to behave. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having a group of really good friends. They're all good things. But your core need is God. Your core need is God. And when your core need is met, everything else comes in line. Everything else comes in line. Because with Jesus, what happens then is we approach those other needs not out of starvation, not out of a sense of hunger, not out of a sense of desperation, but because our core need is met. Look at that for a second. Some of us are sitting here this morning and we're starving. There's a desperation in our soul. And we think we can see it. It's the things we want. But what we really need is Jesus. And when we find Jesus and that core need is met, you no longer starve. Everything else, even though life is crazy, becomes an addition to that relationship with Christ. so that when your friends stop liking you, your world is not blown up. When you lose your job, your world is not blown up. When your marriage is on the rocks, it's not over because Jesus. When your kids misbehave in public and garner all the attention of the world, and you have that person that walks by you and gives you the eye of, if I were their parent, it is okay. Our world is not blown up anymore because our core need is met. We're no longer starving. We no longer become hungry for the things that will only last for this moment, this hour, this day, and wake up the next morning and only hunger for the things that will happen in that moment, in that hour, and that day, and the next day wake up and only hunger after the things that happen in that moment and that hour and that day, because we are full. When you were filled with the bread of life, which is Jesus, the Son of God, your core need is met. The hunger dissipates. And then it no longer destroys us. It no longer tears away our identity. When what happens in the world that happens every single day, when these things fall apart, our world is not completely destroyed because Jesus. We're going to close this morning with communion. Again, I know some of you were here last week and we had communion last week. It's all right. We're allowed to do it 2 weeks in a row, just so you know. We're going to pass the plates this morning. We're going to do something a little different. Normally we have everybody come forward as family. Today, we're going to all take communion together as family. We're going to have some friends of ours come up and pass them down the aisle. So some of you need to get a little bit closer to your neighbors, because for a lot of you, this is new. You've never done this before. Get a little bit closer to your neighbors. We're going to pass the bread and the juice at the same time. And when you get the bread and the juice, I want you to pause. We're not going to do anything but just hold on to the bread and the juice. And I want us to grapple with that question up there. What are you hungry for? What are you hungry for today? What are the things that you're hungering after today that may not last? And are you willing, starting today, to put those hungers aside and be willing to say, Jesus, I will no longer be hungry for whatever it is because I find it in you. Let me pray, and then they're going to pass the elements. Lord Jesus, this morning I ask that you would bring us to a place where we clearly articulate the things that we're hungering after that are not you. Right now, Lord Jesus, I ask that you would bring to mind the things that we're hungering after that are taking the place of you. Give us willing hearts, Lord, to move beyond that point, to put them aside, to instead hunger after you. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, remember, when you get the bread and the juice, please hold on to it. Don't do anything with it yet. Just hold on to it. when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room the night before he would give his life for us. He took the bread at the table and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you." And he passed that bread to the disciples sitting at the table. As you're sitting there this morning with that piece of bread, what are you hungry for today? What is consuming your hunger? Are you willing this morning to replace that with bread that lasts? Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. This is my body." And he willingly gave it for you and for me. See, when you take wheat, when you take barley, when you take corn, and you break it up and you scatter in the field, it grows again. But when you grind it up and you make flour and you throw it in the field, you don't get wheat and you don't get barley and you don't get corn. But when Jesus, the Son of God, had his body broken for you and me, something amazing happened. We do get life. He broke the world's understanding of death. And he brought new life, life that lasts. Would you all take together in remembrance of Jesus, our King? In the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood given for you." Life is in the blood. And when it is spilled, it ceases to be life. When it runs on the ground out of the body, there ceases to be life. But when Jesus, the Son of God, had his blood spilled for us, he did something amazing. He broke the world's understanding of life. And because he willingly gave his life for us, now we can have new life in him. His blood brought true life, real life, lasting life. Life that will go beyond our scope of space and time, but will become eternal. So church, family, let's take and drink in remembrance of what he did for us. If you could pass your cups to the people on the inside of the pews, Nate's going to come along and Paul's going to come along and collect them for you. But as that happens, will you stand? Let's sing together as family of what Jesus has done for us.